Hey, friends, I want to first thank you for tuning in to the SGT Report version of the podcast, The Propaganda Antidote. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Now, you've heard about shrinkflation, right? That's where your candy bar gets smaller, but the price stays the same. Same with the box of cereal. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time everywhere now. It's how corporations are trying to hide inflation, but the government insists that inflation is under control or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
Parents had facts and they had studies and they had science showing how detrimental this stuff was to the kids, but they just didn't want to hear it. And after I spoke, they were very humbled. You know, I put them on notice. And really what I did was just put the dogs back on the leash. These are public servants. They're supposed to serve us. We are the masters, they are the servants, not the other way around. And I reminded them of that. And that's the importance of what I did. I put them back on the leash.
Hey guys, that was my new friend and patriot, Steve. Now this guy not only cares about his own kids, he cares about your kids. And guess what? He's found a very ingenious way to use the law against criminal out-of-control school boards. This is key information that I think is going to lead a lot of you to take similar actions. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Well, if you think crypto assets are the future, I've got good news. My Digital Money's Cash account is here. Finally, a crypto cash trading platform with top-notch US-based client service that actually answers the phone when you need help. My Digital Money offers features to help you make a better crypto investment decision that are either not available or that you have to pay for in other platforms. Trigger orders, that's right, automatically sell or buy coins based on your own parameters. Gain loss prompt, know how much you're making or losing in real time. Tax options, you can choose how to sell your cryptos to make your taxes most efficient for your needs. Since MDM offers both crypto IRA and cash trading, there's no need to move from one platform to another for all your crypto investments. You can do all of your crypto investment in one platform and enjoy a customer service quality you can't find elsewhere. The company was founded by our friend Colin Plume from Noble Gold Investments, so it's a company you can trust. Although MDM is offering cryptocurrency investments, their primary product is service. My Digital Money is here for you. Just dial 833-636-2008 or look them up on the web, mydigitalmoney.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's Sean from sgtreport.com and sgtreport.tv here. I am very, very excited to welcome this guest to the program, a new guest, and my thanks to Crow777 for helping arrange this. Guys, it's time to take our country back. We all know it. And some of y'all are doing it. One such man, a free man, is Stephen, who lives in Ohio. He has three kids, and he just read the school board, the Riot Act, the legal Riot Act. And guess what happened? They immediately threw in the towel on the mask mandates. Stephen, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Well, thanks for coming on. I want to do a screen share here and start with another hero, an 8-year-old girl who told her Florida school district that they better abandon the mask mandate or else. I'm not making that up, and it worked. Listen to this.
My name is Fiona Lachaus, and I am in second grade at Discovery Kale Elementary. I am back to talk to you again today. And for anyone who thinks I didn't write my speech last time is wrong. I wanted to be here then, just like I do now. Sorry if I am supposed to be scared when I see people yelling at these meetings. So I am back today, and tomorrow is my birthday. I am going to get suspended if I don't wear a mask for 3 more days. Just because I get suspended for not wearing a mask isn't going to change my mind. You can keep suspending me. I still have the right not to wear a mask. It is not fair that I'm getting punished because you guys, the school board, are not following the law. That is not fair. It just isn't right. I'm still going to stand up for what I believe in, and nothing's going to change my mind. I've been getting suspended a lot because I'm wearing a mask. Do you know how dirty masks are? Because you touch the mask, you put it on your face, you breathe all those germs in because you have lots of bacteria on your hand. Oh, and okay, yeah, I hope you all go to jail for doing this to me. And my family is proud of me. And my Uncle Murphy, that is in heaven, is really proud of me. And I want to say Burke sucks, but instead of your rules suck.
All right, I'm going to pause it there. I'm proud of her, too. And guess what happened? The school district abandoned the mask mandate after being told they should be in jail by that little girl. I'm coming back to you, Steve. It gives me goosebumps, man. We need an 8-year-old, evidently, to set the stage and show the example for parents in this country, many of whom are willing to go along with the mask mandates and the coercion into vaccine mandates. But not you, my friend. You did something very special. So I want to get a little background here. How did you get onto this track of using the law, which I will note you wrote in a PDF, is damn near perfect in this country? How did you, not an attorney, get your head wrapped around the law and how to use it against these people? Let's just get the background and then we'll tell people how they can do the same.
Well, your show, really. I heard you with Christopher James and that really piqued my interest a lot. And then you had Crow and Alphonse on, I think, back in May or April. And I joined Alphonse's Telegram channel with different intentions. It was like, at that point, I figured everybody that had ever wronged me, I could probably get back at. But then I went down different paths when I started listening to Crow and the actual law series. And I figured, well, let's just see how it goes. And Alphonse talked, I don't know if he talked with you about bar grievances and taking down attorneys. But that he started talking about indemnification of public officials, and everybody had to be indemnified. They had to carry a bond insurance. And I thought, and he said all public officials did. And that really piqued my interest. And I said, I wonder if this could, if this applies to school boards, because they seem to be a huge problem, especially while I know you're familiar with what's going on down in Loudoun County, Virginia. And I guess Fairfax County isn't any worse or isn't any better. But it really piqued my interest. So I started looking into public official bonds, and I found public official surety bonds. And that's some pretty powerful stuff. It's been on the books since 1792. Congress put it enacted for the paymaster for a $20,000 bond to, I think it was to guarantee his public official status. And it's just carried on ever since. And it's put in the books, but it seems from what I looked into, and I called all the people in my county, everybody's bonded. They just don't know what it's for. They just know they have to have it. And once you really start digging into them, they're powerful. And they can unseat anybody as far up as the state. Even up to the state governor. I haven't gone too far into that, but I did get an email shortly before we came on from someone who's military. Apparently these bonds go all the way up through the feds and everywhere. So this is pretty powerful stuff here, Sean.
Well, it is, and I appreciate you bringing this to my attention, and this is just a great example of how we can all inspire each other. So thanks for saying that you were listening to those interviews I did with Crow and Alphonse and with Christopher James, who so smartly asks us all to understand the basics of our freedoms. Am I property? Do you claim me as property? Of course, nobody can. Then produce the contract. Show me the contract between you and me. And if there isn't one, then our business is done here as they try to force vaccine mandates on the population. I'll do a screen share here. This letter that you wrote and presented to the Ohio School Board, tell us about this. You cite Ohio Revised Code 3.30, an excerpt as otherwise provided in section 3.061 of the revised code. A person elected or appointed to an office is required by law to give a bond or security previous to the performance of the duties imposed on the person by the person's office, etc. Very powerful letter here. I don't fully understand all of it, but you've definitely caught a genie in a bottle here, because my understanding is you read this letter to the school board, and what happened?
They capitulated. They unanimously voted it down. Now, in the actual meeting, I didn't know how to close, which I have since remedied, and it's at the very bottom where it says I call for a vote. But they were scared when I finished speaking. They were. I could see the fear in the superintendent's eyes. And the temperature of the school board from that meeting to the previous one, which I did not attend, the parents that were involved in the first one, they said that the school board wanted to hear nothing. They just rolled over them. They just steamrolled them the whole time. And the parents had facts, and they had studies, and they had science showing how detrimental this stuff was to the kids, but they just didn't want to hear it. And after I spoke, they were very humbled. And you know, I put them on notice. And really what I did was just put the dogs back on the leash. These are public servants. They're supposed to serve us. We are the masters. They are the servants, not the other way around. And I reminded them of that. And that's the importance of what I did. I put them back on the leash. And we can all do this. We just have to do it properly. And I know Christopher James talks about that a lot. We got to do it properly. When the law is used correctly, it works for we the people. When we put in the hands of a lawyer or try and act as a lawyer outside of our capacities as men and women, that's when we get beat. And if we do it correctly, and I worded it very strongly for a reason, because I wanted them to know that I was not part of what their system is, that I'm just one of the people. And I put that right in the beginning. I also knocked them out right in the beginning of trying to suck me into their system. If you want to read that, I think that opening speech is pretty powerful.
Yeah, let's take a look at that. And I think that the powers that ought not be are finally getting the message across the country that parents are fed up. The schools are not in charge. The administration is not in charge of our children's education. We, the parents, are in charge. We, the property taxpayers, are in charge. These schools, these public schools, would not have any funding were it not for the taxpayers and their property taxes. And Terry McAuliffe, who ran for governor in Virginia, he found out the hard way, didn't he? That parents are fed up. And guess what? Parents who are constitutionalists and care about their kids are not white supremacists, Merrick Garland. We are red-blooded Americans who cherish our freedoms in the Constitution. So let's go back to the document, and we'll figure out how Stephen started this presentation. He wrote, "First and foremost, I will be making statements, not questions. So until I'm finished speaking, there's no need or requirement for anyone else to speak. I am one of the people and not subject to the rules and regulations of your board. So time limits mean nothing to me or anyone else speaking. And I assure you, not hearing what I have to say will be extremely detrimental to both your office and you individually." I love that. And you didn't ramble on for 30 minutes. What did it take to read this whole thing? It's 3 pages. It probably took you, what, 5 minutes?
If that. I don't think it, I ran through it pretty quick, but I made sure to make eye contact at the pertinent parts that I found pertinent anyway. It was maybe less than 2 minutes. And like I say, the goal was achieved. I put those people on notice, you know, and they didn't really have a recourse. And some since the Crow episode, some people contact me and they say, well, should we like notice them before with this, or should we give them some kind of notice we're going to do something? I said, no, not at all. You want to blindside them and back them into a corner. You want them on the spot. You don't want them the chance to talk to their attorney and their attorney to try and throw a monkey wrench in it. You don't want to try and speak as an attorney. You want to tell them the laws, tell them what they're bound by, tell them how their rules actually work, because those rules that they have in the state codes and the county codes and ordinances and stuff, those apply to them. Those apply to them and corporations, not to we the people. So they're the ones that are bound by that, not us. And read them the Riot Act, tell them how it actually is, and tell them that you're going to hold them accountable, and then make them make a decision in their own mind, not wait for an attorney to coax them out of it. And that's, you just want to put them against the wall. And that's what I did. And it achieved the end that the parents wanted to achieve. Sean, there was 5 of us there total, myself and 4 other parents. That's all it took. And no, it wasn't advertised or anything. We didn't have a video, unfortunately. There was a report in the local newspaper about it, which they misquoted me, one of the things I said. But regardless, I still achieved the same end. And I found out 2 days ago that our neighboring school district also backed off on the masks. So I don't know if I have anything to do with that or if that speech had anything to do with that or anything, but I'd like to think it did because it was in the paper. So,
well, it probably did. And, you know, here's what's puzzling to so many of us who can actually think and who actually care about children, whether we have children or not. I'm a dad. You're a dad. Some listeners aren't parents, but they care about the kids a hell of a lot more than these school boards and these teachers that are torturing children by making them wear masks all day long, smelly. Well, you know, the little girl got it right. The 8-year-old girl got it right. She's breathing her own germs all day, and these school boards and these teachers don't care. I think it's about power because the science is clear. Number one, children are not at risk of dying from this COVID. Okay, they're just not. 99.99% will never, ever have a problem with it. The survival rate is nearly 100%. And beyond that, the mask science is clear. It's BS. The masks are BS. They don't do anything. It's theater. And it's time that these school boards hear the truth. And it's time that we, the parents, start playing hardball. And you've given us another avenue with which to play hardball with these people. And we're going to need this information when they start trying to vax mandate our children as well. All right. So we'll go back to your document because I just want to flush this out and understand what happened here. You told them, I've written claims against your bonds, and I will personally put them in the hands of every parent in this district. I have 2 weeks off every month, and I have no problem doing just that. Once a claim is made, your insurance company is now on notice of a pending lawsuit, which they will be on the hook for. All right, I love that. I'm coming back to you. I think, guys listening, there's another avenue we can have. You know how these hospitals are torturing people, and they're not providing actual care? They're just rolling out the protocols, remdesivir, you know, starving people to death, withholding hydration. It's torture in the hospitals. I think threats of a malpractice lawsuit against doctors can result in very much the same thing, because even if a judgment is not made against the doctor, filing a malpractice lawsuit against a doctor affects their insurance rates, and they know it. So I think you're on to something very important here. Just describe the reaction of the board, and did they vote immediately at the end of this meeting about rescinding the mask mandates?
They quieted down and actually tried to move forward with the meeting with their regular business. And the moms that I had actually met with all the moms that were there, and they pushed the issue. And I don't know if you've heard of the ESSER funds. Have you heard of those?
Vaguely. What are they?
It's emergency. Hang on. Look it up really, really quick. It's emergency. Let me look.
Is it federal government money for these schools?
Yeah, it's coming out of the CARES Act.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It makes my blood boil. This is all driven from the top down when the states have the power, but they're usurping the power of the states from the top down because we have a criminal government.
Yeah, it's an elementary and secondary school emergency relief fund. Now, Dr. Sean Brooks, and I think you have actually sent or played one of his videos. He stood in front of Miami University's board talking about jabs and how they're gonna kill people within the next 3 to 5 years. He actually got a hold of the Department of Education for the state, and he got all the guidelines for the ESSER funds. And it says right in those that they get the ESSER funds in compliance with the CDC guidelines for COVID restrictions. And they try and lie about that and say, oh, no, that's not part of it. But yes, it is. It absolutely is. And they're getting up around $4,000 a kid to do it. My math was wrong on Crow's show. I said my district is probably about 1,000 kids. And I said $4,000 a kid, that's $400,000. No, that's $4 million. So $4 million a kid to keep these masks on and keep these quarantine garbage up because they're still quarantining the kids. That's a lot of money, $4 million. For them to say that, for them to get them to do that. And I mean, I don't know how corrupt public officials are, but if I had $4 million sitting there that nobody's really tracking or paying attention to, and I can make that money disappear into my own pocket, I'd probably figure it out. So that's just me. And I'm just a regular working guy. So who says they aren't? How hard would it be to get a RICO investigation done by the FBI on these people? You know, there's a lot of recourse in that. But that part scared him because one of the moms brought up the ESSER funds, they kind of caved pretty quick there, and they really started putting it to a vote. And I think what I said, because I put about 18 U.S. Code 241 and 242 in there, those are federal felonies. They've got staunch prison sentences if they're convicted of that. and it's conspiracy against rights and deprivation of rights under color of law. Now, anything the CDC says is color of law. It's a word or an ordinance or a guideline or something. It's color of law. It's not the actual letter of the law. So that's the difference. And they're using that to mask these kids for 8 hours a day and however 180 days a year. And they're also getting federal funds to do so. So if they think they can stand on anything in federal district court and say, oh, well, we have any reason that we can do this because of public health. But wait, you're getting $4 million for all these kids to put these masks on? What are you talking? That's for health, right? So that really pushed the issue, and then it forced it to a vote. But a couple of the members spoke about it. Oh, this wasn't a deprivation of right. They're worried about liability from the public health and blah, blah, blah. And I brought up that none of this was law. None of it was a law. None of it was written down by any legislative body, and that they are required. They should be worried about getting sued by somebody that gets COVID. They should be worried about getting sued by the parents that are going to hold them to the letter of the law. And that really pushed it over the edge. And then they voted. It was probably about 5 minutes after I finished speaking that they voted, and it was unanimous. Well, one guy abstained, but the rest, they all voted unanimously to knock down the mask mandate.
Hey, friends, this is a good time for a quick break and a word about our sponsor. Yeah, it's Noble Gold. Now, you've heard about shrinkflation, right? That's where your candy bar gets smaller, but the price stays the same. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time everywhere now, but the government insists that inflation is under control or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5 ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. That's amazing. Well, fantastic job, Steve. I mean, look, it's high time that everybody get involved, and you're a great example of how getting involved, getting educated, educating yourself, because that's what you had to do here, right? As far as these codes goes and these bonds goes, you had to educate yourself, and you did that. And there's a PDF document that Rose sent me. Rose is on Crow's team. So my thanks to Rose and Crow for getting to know you and helping me get to know you. A step-by-step issuance of claim provided by you, Steve. And I'm wondering where this PDF lives. Maybe I'll reach out to Rose and I'll try to figure out where the PDF lives on the internet. I've got a copy here, but I want to leave a link to this below so listeners can educate themselves. So they can search for state-specific laws on oaths of office and bonds. And in this PDF, you write, keep it handy, read requirements, memorize code number, annotate in document or notes, and you take people through how to do all of this and learn all of this so that they can discover the bonds and the language and the law where they live and then present the same information to their school boards. Am I missing anything? And how difficult was it for you? How much time did this take for you to track all this down, educate yourself, and then present it to the board? I mean, are we talking months, weeks, days?
It was actually a few days. Well, I guess I spread it over some time. I worked 2 weeks straight and I have 2 weeks off. So I did a little bit here and there while I was working to try, like, not at work, but while in my 2 weeks on, just quick internet searches to see what I could find for the public official surety bonds and then official misconduct and things like that. And then the bonding requirements and oaths of office for my state. Now, everyone's a little bit different, and some, I guess, have made it so they don't have to be bonded, but they have to be indemnified somehow. They have to have some kind of liability insurance. And just real quick, you were talking about how to go after hospitals on it. Let me tell you, I found out hospital boards are also bonded. At least in the state of New York, they are. So they have to carry their own individual liability insurance, too, but they don't even know that that's what it is. And it's in case they cause wrong or harm in their position. And from my assertion, everybody that has anybody's lives or livelihoods in their hands, aside from independent business owners, of course, they are required to be bonded in case they do cause wrong or harm so that people have recourse. And this is big stuff. But as far as doing it myself, I called my county first to see if anybody in the county had those records. I also got in touch with the Ohio State School Board Association to see who they required to be bonded. Now, in Ohio, it is the president of the school board, the treasurer, and the superintendent of the school. Now, nobody else on the board has to be bonded, but individual capacities, you can take care of that if you threaten suit. So that'll scare them. It should be enough. But the rest, or those other three, they have to be bonded. And those are for small amounts. And it was honesty in office and faithful service bonds was the kind of bonds they had. And I like to reiterate this to everybody I talk to. The school board treasurer didn't know that. She thought it was some kind of debt bond. And that's not even the available bonds according to what the state requirements are. You have like dishonesty bonds, you have honesty bonds, you have faithful service bonds, fidelity bonds, fiduciary duty bonds. There is no such thing as a debt bond as far as a public official requirement to be in office is concerned. So it's funny, they don't know. And as far as up the county, none of them seem to really know what the bonds were about either. So if you have corrupt county officials, there's another way, you know, go after those bonds. And the great thing about it is once a claim is made against those bonds, they never go away. Never, because it's a notice of a lawsuit, just like with bar grievances on attorneys. Once you have a bar grievance filed, that's a claim on that bond, and it sticks with them forever. If they get too many, they can't be insured anymore. It's like a drunk with 70 DUIs trying to get a car insurance. If he does get it, he'll pay through the nose, but they're never going to want to insure him because he's a huge liability to them. So that's how powerful these things are.
No, that's fantastic. And Stephen, as it pertains to these documents, I know that you created these. And again, I'm going to reach out to Rose and figure out where they live. I'm sure that Crow 777 put these up on their website somewhere. So I'm going to find those links and I'll try to link those below, guys, because these are the tools you're going to need to learn all this stuff and then implement these strategies in your neck of the woods. I'm just trying to find this part in the document where you wrote, here it is. You wrote, the law in this country is, well, I don't know if I have a word to describe it, but it's damn near perfect. Lawyers have polluted it, and there's a reason. There's scripture about lawyers. Shakespeare said, kill the lawyers first. Learning it yourself is key. All lawyers are bound to the bar, so they can only work within the system. You are not bound to anything, and you can destroy that system if you choose. Good luck and Godspeed, my brothers and sisters. Again, man, this is a great awakening. I really think it is. Some of the things I've learned from Christopher James, boy, they line up with Alphonse and the things that, you know, he's taught me and my audience. Now, you're actually implementing these strategies with great success and making a change where you live on a local level. That's what we all been wishing for. That's what we all want. We want to see change on a local level because, you know, the federal government, if it's criminal, there's not a lot we can do about that right now until the next election, sadly. You know, because the DOJ is in the pocket of these same corrupt people. But on a local level, that's the key to saving our country, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah. I mean, as General Flynn says, local action will have a national impact. And that's true. I mean, we can change things at the local level and things won't go much further, you know, because these local guys think they can be big fish and they can be corrupt here. If we hold them to account here, you know, they're not going to get to that higher level and be corrupt. It'll just stop. And I think there may be a way to stop the feds with this same system, but I'm not sure exactly how. I haven't delved too deeply into it because I think the local level and school boards is an easy win. People get discouraged if they go and stand in front of a school board and nothing happens. But if you can hold them accountable directly and get them to get change on the spot like I did, that's a huge confidence booster. And it was a pretty easy win for me. And I'm just, like I say, I'd never, ever been to any kind of official meeting or public official meeting or any kind like that. And I walked out 20 feet taller than I walked in. And just because I beat them and I scared them. And I promise they will never, ever want to see me on their agenda again. I know that for sure. They're never going to want to see my name come across their desk again. But they'll heal when I, you know, they'll say how high when I say jump the next time I show up if I need to, but I hope I don't.
Yeah, well, you may need to if they're going to start rolling out vaccine mandates. And of course, one glimmer of hope here is U.S. Appeals Court affirms a hold on the Biden COVID-19 vaccine mandate. U.S. Appeals Court on Friday upheld its decision to put on hold an order by puppet President Joe Biden for companies with 100 workers or more to require COVID-19 vaccines, rejecting a challenge by his, quote unquote, my words, his corrupt administration. So that's the good news. Do you have 5 or 10 more minutes? Because you sent me the Fauci COVID-19 dossier, and I want to talk about that, because if we're going to name names of criminals in high places, Dr. Fauci is maybe the name at the top of the list, or at least the name right below Bill Gates, who I think ought to be arrested for his clear-cut crimes. He absolutely was, through the NIH funding gain-of-function research in China, even though he denied it under oath in front of Rand Paul and everyone listening. Dr. Fauci should be in prison because he continues to parrot that the vaccines are safe and effective, and he continues to say, we need to get these vaccines into the arms of children. Now, that makes my blood boil far more than any mask mandate, Steve.
Oh, I agree with you, and I think I possibly have a way forward with that. There's a couple different ways. One I was actually looking into today, the Standard Form 95 Federal Tort Action. Let me pull this up really quick and look at it, because this is any kind of...
Yeah, take your time. So it looks like this Fauci dossier was prepared by David Martin, and we have a lot of esteem and respect for Dr. David E. Martin. Dr. Fauci is absolutely a criminal. His career is peppered with criminality, going all the way back to the AIDS crisis. And the man's been entrenched in government for what, nearly 5 decades or more? He's a hardcore criminal, and I really, really want to see him perp walked.
Well, here's an idea for those of your audience that are doers and people that are going to see this. Criminal complaint forms are very, very, very easy to get a hold of and fill out. Now, in my personal opinion, the law says, well, it's not even my personal opinion, the law states what the law states. And when criminal complaints are made, they are required, public officials, whether it be U.S. attorneys, district attorneys, or sheriffs, anybody, they're required to act. So you can get a hold of a federal criminal complaint form or a state one, or even one with your county sheriff. Now, if every single U.S. attorney in every single federal district in this country had 100 criminal complaint forms against Fauci with that Fauci dossier attached to it, and that Fauci dossier outlines every single law he broke, every one. In the first, it's the first several pages. And all you have to do is put those laws in. It's the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And that's all you have to put in there. And you can, even in the description of what went down, you can just put see attached document. If that could end up on the desk and in the hands of every U.S. attorney in this country by hundreds, maybe thousands of people, or the FBI even. I mean, there's got to be some good guys in the FBI. So may he rest in peace. Robert David Steele said 90% good guys trapped in a bad system. So some of them probably do want to act, but they might need us to do it for them. They might need enough of an uprising from we the people to want to do it, because their hands might be tied from their higher ups. But if they've got 50, 100 or more and more criminal complaints sitting on their desks, we're talking state attorney generals. You know, you got some good ones, like the guy down in Texas, Ken Paxton. You know, that guy's a bulldog. He's supposed to go after the federal government every day. If he's got 100 criminal complaints from people in Texas with the Fauci dossier sitting on his desk, you think he's not going to do something? Somebody will do something. And if they don't, then we know what the only option we have left is. And that's not a pleasant option that I think any of us want. But we still do have the law. And as long as it's there, as long as I can see it works, that I stood down the school board and thinks they're above the law, well, I think we do still have an option. And we got some good people out there that I think they're just waiting for the correct amount of ammo. And it's got to be from we the people if we want action. And then there's Standard Form 95, it's Federal Tort Action. It is a... Let me read this correctly. Legal Standard Form 95 is used to present claims against the United States under the Federal Tort Claims Act, which torts is short for torture, for property damage, personal injury, or death allegedly caused by a federal employee's negligence or wrongful act or omission occurring within the scope of the employee's federal employment. These claims must be presented to the federal agency whose employee conducted gave rise to that injury. So that is a pretty serious one. So we have the means, if we have the people that are willing to do it. And I call for anybody in the independent media that watches Sean's show, push it on your shows too. We can get this guy, but it's got to come from us. It's not going to come from on high. Whether there was a plan with the whole QAnon crap, if it was real, I mean, there's aspects of it I can't deny. And I was not a Q guy. I was not a Trump guy up until COVID started. But there's things right now that's going on that I can't deny. It's constantly said there will become a day, there will come a day when they can't walk down the street. And I think we're nearing that for sure. But these are actions that you and I can take, and you can send them anonymously. Get a hold of that Fauci dossier. You can even go on Google and type in Fauci dossier. It's the first thing that comes up. It's 205 pages of PDF. It's downloadable. Get it in the hands of these people. Get it in their hands and with a criminal complaint, and let's just see what it does. Somebody's going to do something. I promise. Well, I hope. I hope it really doesn't come to the...
Yeah, no, look, man, there are some incredible things going on right now. I'm trying to get Mike Lindell lined up for an interview here in coming days. My understanding is he and his team will be presenting to the U.S. Supreme Court the evidence of the election theft, the packets. They've got it all, and they couldn't release it publicly or they would have been charged with felonies by the current criminal government. But they've got the evidence and they can legally present it to the U.S. Supreme Court. We are pushing the needle on this thing, friends, because we know that the election was stolen. Therefore, what occurred in this past presidential election was a coup. And what's happened since? Nothing good for this country, nothing good for the people. He wants to continue to shut down oil pipelines. He wants to continue to open the borders and make illegal immigrants rich by paying them money. It's absolute insanity. We will take our country back on a local level, peacefully, and with fair elections moving forward. And hopefully this fraudulent past election will be overturned. Now, as we ring this one out, Steve, I want you to watch this with me. We're going to listen to Dr. David Martin himself, the man who wrote the Fauci COVID-19 dossier. I had this clip on my browser here because I wanted to put this in a future video. Now's the perfect time. Let's listen to Dr. David Martin himself talk about the RICO conspiracy.
And the thing we're living through right now is not a public health emergency. The thing we're living through right now is the last hegemonic grasp of an industry that set out in 1984 to build a singular model of what health was. And let me say that again. In 1984, they built a singular model of what health was. And health was the genetic manipulation of an organism to build a perpetual dependency on a pharmaceutical industry. Got it? And by the way, that was actually a sentence you should put up. That's a Twitter feed. That's a meme. That's a whatever else. So if any of you social media mavens out there are out there, that's one that we should actually turn into a meme, because that's in fact what 1984 was. 1984 was when we picked the mercenary in chief to actually run a program which was singularly focused on, number one, establishing the hegemony of vaccines as the only way to treat the human condition, and number two, to put in place the tools that would lead to the 1986 Shield of Immunity Act, called the 1986 Childhood Vaccine Act. Okay? Anthony Fauci was selected for one purpose and one purpose alone. His whole reason for existence at NIAID was to advance one scientific theory, which is that the human beings and the human condition would be better served if we had a universal dependency on immunization through vaccine. That is his model. He said it at the beginning. He hasn't changed it since. And we make the mistake of thinking that somehow or another in the 1980s, things were just kind of moving along and this accidentally came about. No, it was architected and he was selected to be the mass murderer in chief.
All right, I'm going to pause it there. Steve, we're going to listen to just a little bit more of this, but I want people to read the quote on screen. This mandatory injection was planned in 2015 by the COVID RICO conspirators. Let that sink in as you guys digest everything that Steve and I just talked about in this interview, and then go and learn the law for yourself. Utilize the documents I'll link below. Get educated and take action. Be inspired by at least something that's been shared in this interview to start taking action against these COVID RICO conspirators.
Call it what it is. We wouldn't have the 86 Act if we didn't have Fauci. Did you hear what I just said? And by the way, there's a punchline at the end of this where I'm going to tell you how we're going to get away from the 86 Act. So stay with me. But just remember, I started in 84, not in 86, because we have to start at the foundation. And the foundation was choosing a person who had a conquest orientation, choosing a person who was trained to actually believe in crusades and the holiness of divine causes. That's who Anthony Fauci was, right? You've seen him. You've seen him standing next to people, right? You know he was the captain of his basketball team in high school? No kidding. I'm not making that up. Imagine what the rest of the team looked like if Anthony Fauci was the captain. And let's wonder if there could be some Napoleonic kind of psychology going on. I wish I was making that one up. That was actually, when I found that out, I was like, nah, really?
Yeah.
It really is. He was the captain of the basketball team in high school. Not surprisingly, we might have some issues, right? Small feet, whatever. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But there's an issue that says that we selected a person who actually had a Napoleonic, a crusade orientation, a divine right orientation, a notion that he could impose his will on humanity because it was the right thing to do. So it is not a surprise that his entire career has been nothing but the death and destruction of people, first by the conflation of what HIV/AIDS was and the rush towards vaccinations, which was supposed to be the camel's nose under the tent. Stay with me. In 2012, that was a joke.
All right. Well, I wish I had that queued up to the spot where he talks about the genocide. Maybe I'll cut that in, Steve. The point is that Dr., and I use that very loosely, Dr. Evil's more like it, Dr. Anthony Fauci has spent his career dedicating it to the death and destruction of human beings. He's a hardcore criminal and he needs to do time for his crimes. He needs to be indicted. And I can't believe he hasn't been fired. I can't believe that the man still is in power when we know what we know, Steve. He's a hardcore criminal.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, more comes out every day with the orphans and stuff that Alex Jones put out. And I don't know how the guy's walking the street. If he is, I mean, we only see him on TV, so we don't really know, I guess. But if something isn't getting done, we can try and make something get done. And
it tells you all you need to know about the mainstream horror media too, doesn't it? As they continue to bring this slime ball on basically on a weekly, if not nightly basis, you know, Lester Holt rolling out the red carpet for Dr. Anthony Fauci. Please give us an update on the effectiveness of the vaccines, Dr. Fauci. They treat him like he's royalty when he's scum. But that makes sense because the mainstream horror media is scum. The mainstream horror media is Rockefeller. It is Rothschild. It is Gates. It is aligned against humanity, and we're fed up. And that's why so many of us in the alternative news media are gaining ground and reaching people who actually want real news. So, Steve, thank you so much for bringing real news to my show. Thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for the education here today. We appreciate you.
No problem, Sean. I want to give you some a good thing. You probably have a larger viewer base than any of those people on CNN anyway. So,
well, not anymore. Not since they booted me off of YouTube, but you know, we're still out there. We're still alive and kicking on BitChute, Odyssey, Rumble, Podbean, iTunes. The information is getting out there. And here's the good news, Steve. When I recorded those interviews with those folks you mentioned that you listened to, I didn't know you were listening. There's thousands of people that are listening. And a lot of people are getting involved. So thanks for doing what you did. And thanks for getting involved and educated, man.
No problem, Sean. I needed the tools and you folks helped me get them. So, and it's, we need more doers like me. More, and it didn't even take a lot, guys. It didn't. And you take down a school board and then move on. Go to the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. That's all you got to do. And you'll grow a following. You'll get some people that want to help you. That are tired of this, and we can fix it. But we're not done yet. So,
all right. Well, God bless you, Patriot. We appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time today. And again, really do appreciate everything you did. And thank you.
No problem, Sean. Yeah, have a good day.
You too. And friends, I'm going to try to leave the links below to the letter that Steve read to the school board and to the PDF document, which outlines how you can learn more about these bonds and get educated as it pertains to the law where you live. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. A special thank you to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv. Thank you for keeping us in the fight for real news and truth. And for real news, you guys can visit us directly every single day at sgtreport.com, the antidote to corporate propaganda. Just a quick word about our sponsor, Shrinkflation. Have you noticed it? It's happening all the time, everywhere now. But the government insists that inflation is under control or that it's just temporary. But Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. They know that a precious metals IRA will help you hedge these rising prices so that you can retire without worrying. You can keep up with the inflation the folks in Washington are trying so hard to hide. And this month, to thank you and to get your precious metals project off to a flying start, Noble Gold is giving away a free 5-ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call them directly at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
Let's talk about this, because this is fascinating. I remember very clearly, I think anybody who was alive at the time does. I remember my parents waking me up, and we went down and we watched you guys land on the moon.
No,
which
you didn't.
Was,
no, you didn't.
What?
Because there wasn't any television. There wasn't anybody taking a picture. You watched animation. See, you associated what you saw with...
I have very hazy memories.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's it for now, friends. Thank you so very much for tuning in, and I'll remind you every single day for free. Visit us directly at sgtreport.com, the antidote to corporate propaganda. God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
I have very hazy memories.
Yeah, I know.